I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. If you don't know it, it's very simple. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Let's sing that. Ready? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, and I lift my voice to worship you, to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Amen. I'm going to be in Hebrews 11 this morning. Hebrews 11 in the Bible. Hebrews 11, I'll be starting at verse 23. I want to talk today about respect the reward. Respect the reward. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. Hebrews 11 is a great hall of faith where they explain what people did in faith so much. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. So we're talking about faith here and how many people by faith did these things. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. And by the way, if verse 23, if Moses' parents wouldn't have lived by faith, the rest of what Moses did wouldn't have happened. Parents is so important that we do the will of God. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. Let's talk about the respect, to respect the reward, and let's pray. Father, I just ask for your help as always, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is the one who can give us the knowledge. Lord, we are by nature fallen creatures with minds that don't always think right, and we're tempted to do wrong. We're tempted to have the wrong priorities, certainly with this comfortable world we live in. But I pray today you would not only give us the knowledge and the truth, but you'd speak to our hearts and give us your Spirit's power so that he would speak in such a powerful way that we'd understand how important that this is, that we have the right perspective and that we respect the reward and that we live like Moses lived and forsake and live for what lasts for eternity. Thank you for your word. I pray today we'd get it, and I pray today we'd have the right priorities, and I pray today you'd make your word clear to us as we study a lot of verses and see what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. It says Moses grew up in Pharaoh's, in the most, the richest place in the world. He grew up in Pharaoh's house, the palace, great wealth. You just imagine the most comfortable beds and sheets and pillows and house and servants and people fanning you and food and everything as nice as you could want life. If you could order up your life right now and say, I'd like to live in this country, in this city, in this type of house with these type of servants and be fed this kind of food, as comfortable as you can make your life, that's what Moses grew up with. And all he had to do to continue to have that for the rest of his life was not change anything. But Moses was brought up, he was Jewish, and he was brought up by a Hebrew mommy, and and taught the ways of God also. And he knew who he was. And in Acts chapter 7, he find out that he knew by God that God was going to use him to deliver Israel. And in the end, he said, you know what? I'm going to suffer with the people of God. I'm going to go with God's people, Israel, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I don't want you to think that if you do what the devil wants you to do, I'm not saying there will not be pleasures in that. This world and sin has a pleasure to it. But it's a very short-lived pleasure. The pleasure of sin is enjoyed for a season. But then is regret. Then is emptiness. Then is the fruit that you sowed grows up into crops and it comes back to you. Then is the punishment. Then is the end of sin. And the end of sin is death. And the end of sin is emptiness. And the end of sin is not being close to God. And, of course, the end of sin is no God. And Moses said, you know what? I will choose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Historically, this decision was much more clear. Are you going to enjoy this world and his pleasures, or are you going to enjoy God in eternity? And you used to have to make a choice. Nowadays, we are so fortunate in America. We have this freedom. They protect us. We can serve God. Really, they can't persecute as much in America. You can still live in a nice house. You can still have good food. You can still have friends. You can still live a comfortable life and serve God in most cases. You probably won't get fired from a good job because you're a Christian. Now, if you lived in the days of the early Roman Empire, you might have to live in the catacombs under the city, in the graves where the bodies are buried under the city, because that's the only place that the Roman soldiers wouldn't come kill you because they're afraid of them. And that's where you're lived, and that's where your family lived, and that's where your kids were born. You were born underground in the graves, and that's where you lived your whole life. And all the Christians had to do that. If you got saved, someone gave you the gospel, you know, okay, I got to go to the catacombs. And you would choose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If in some days and in some countries right now, it might mean you get persecuted, you go to jail. Right now, in China, our family, the Wongs, who went to China for a month on a mission trip, they found that the Chinese cannot put their kids in the schools. The schools are attack God so much. But if you homeschool your kids, there's no Christian schools allowed. If you homeschool your kids, the government will not accept their education, and they will not be able to go to college in China. And so there's a whole generation of Christians in China, and they're homeschooling their kids, and they're going to send their kids to school in another country. And that's a choice. That's a choice they're making. You and I oftentimes don't have to really have that black line. If you serve God, this is going to happen. It's getting a little bit more like that in America, and I'm not stressed out about that. It's making the good real Christians stand out and making the real Christians take a stand. And it's making the fake ones disappear. It'll purify Christianity. And everybody says, oh yeah, if it came down to, they said, if you don't serve Jesus, we're going to kill you. I'd die for Jesus. Listen. That's easy to say. Okay. Number one, if you won't live for Jesus now when it's easy, I don't know how you're going to die for Jesus when it's hard. Okay. If you won't pay a price now, listen, if you won't go to church twice in a week, you say, I shouldn't go to church twice. If you think that's a big deal and you can't do that, when they're ready to burn you at the stake, okay, you see what I'm saying there? But sometimes what happens is when you have to make a decision, you make the right decision. When you don't have to make a decision, you choose both. I'm going to enjoy this world and I'm going to enjoy God. And God says, you can't do that. God says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. God says, hey, which world do you want to live for? See, when you really want to be a real Christian, it means serious prayer. It means telling people about Jesus. It means dedication to the Word of God and to prayer and time with God and going to church and telling people about Jesus and standing when it's not popular and all the things that it takes. And you do pay a price sometimes. You become a soul winner and tell people about Jesus in this culture, some people will not like you. That's what you have to do. That's the price you pay. It's a time price. It's an embarrassment price. I'm doing this when I don't want to price. And that's all we have to suffer. We're pretty blessed. If it's, I'm tired, but I'm going to read my Bible anyway, and that's the worst you go through, praise God. You got it good. Amen, that's good. Moses said, you know what? I know if I go with the Jewish people, I'm going to suffer affliction. I know I will not be wealthy anymore. I know I will be hated in Egypt. I know these things, but he says, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Then he says why he did that. Esteeming, that means you feel like something's worth something. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He said, you know what? The reward that God gives is going to be greater than what I'm going to lose. If we just made a deal right now and I said, all right, anybody here got a five? I'll give you back a 20. How many be up for that? Okay. Why? You'd say, well, that's worth it. What if I said, all right, give me a 20 and I might give you something? How many are up for that? Let's try it. Come on up. You raise your hand. Ask your dad. He'll give you one. you would say, well, what am I going to get back? And so there's church lotto. So you say, you know, this is worth it. I think this is worth the price. And Moses said, I think the reward I'm going to get from God is going to be greater than everything I would enjoy in Egypt for the rest of my life. That's what it came down to. So he says, I will go suffer affliction. He went down to God's people, ended up with God's people, and lost everything in Egypt. And by the way, wandered around for 40 years and wandered around in the wilderness, didn't have a palace ever again. But in heaven, the reward is worth it. And he says, I have respect under the recompense, the paying back of the reward. Let me just give you some thoughts about rewards in the Bible and rewards in heaven. Number one, this is not really nothing you ever heard before, but heaven's a really great place to be. Bible says in Psalm 16:11, it says, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. For anybody who gets to heaven, it's awesome. You'll be glad you're in heaven. No matter what you get for reward, you're in a great place. You are in a place, by the way, the alternative's not a good place. Okay? But heaven is like, perfect. In his presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is there. It's better than anything in the world. If you're just the least in the kingdom of heaven, you're doing good. Heaven's a wonderful place. Fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. Heaven is better than paradise. God replaces a place called paradise with heaven in eternity. It's a wonderful place. If you make it to heaven, you'll be like in a poor, miserable desert country, and suddenly you find a 5-star hotel, and instead of homeless, you can sleep on a bed in the room. However, heaven has a lot more rewards for certain people and a lot more things in heaven for certain people. See, you might go to the 5-star hotel, but they may say, well, you can sleep in a room, but there's also a swimming pool. Because you don't qualify, you don't get to swim in the pool. And you don't get room service. And you got to pay for the food. And you don't get to go get the free buffet. And so you're there, and it's good. And heaven's a good place. But everybody doesn't get the same things in heaven. What you do right now on earth, you get great rewards for. And Moses knew this, so he said, my reward in heaven is going to be better than what I lose on earth. God talks about it many, many, many ways in the Bible. I wish I'd get to all the verses and all the things he says. He says, listen, no man's given up father, brother, and sister, but it receives 100-fold. And God says, I reward you above and beyond. Everybody gets an inheritance. Let's say it that way. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So, just like a person who has a very, 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 very rich dad, every child or every grandchild, every maybe niece and nephew, everybody gets an inheritance, but everybody doesn't get the same inheritance. One person gets the house, the mansion, and one gets the old Buick. Now, it's nice to have the old Buick. Praise the Lord. Everybody gets an inheritance. Everybody gets to go to heaven. Who's saved? Everybody gets to go to heaven gets the inheritance in reserved in heaven for you. And by the way, everything I'll say is predicated on if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Know Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Know Jesus Christ, no heaven. There's hell for you. Jesus wants you in heaven. He gives you heaven. He died for you to give you heaven. And if you accept Christ, you get heaven. But everybody doesn't get the same reward in heaven. Everybody's not equal in heaven. Everybody doesn't have the same benefits in heaven because we earn our rewards in this little blip of time we have right here. In this little blip of time, you get your rewards. Heaven's going to be good. It's an inheritance for everybody, but not everybody gets the same amount. It's what we earn. Number two, every person receives reward for their individual works. Revelation 22. We'll go to Revelation 22. Why not? Revelation 22. I got so many verses, I won't give them all. Revelation 22 and verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I want you to notice every man according to his work. In the Bible, and it'll be in a lot of verses we'll read. I'm not going to point it out again probably much. But you're rewarded individually. You can be part of a church that does great things for God, but you don't get rewards for what your church does. You can be part of an amazing family, but you don't get rewards according to what the rest of your family does. Unless you raise your kids for God and they go do something, or your comfort goes and does something. I believe that you get rewards for what they do also, and that's in the Bible. I'm not going to get into that today. However, your reward is individually. You get rewards for what you do for God. If you become a martyr and I'm your pastor, I don't get the martyr's crown. If I did, I'd be sending you to some very bad countries. I'm going to rack up some crowns, head to Saudi Arabia. You don't get that. You get individual, what you earn. It's what you earn. I watch people go to college sometimes, and I think, man, it's going to be hard for you to go to college later. While you're there, find out what the best degree is and what the best field of studies. Many of your degrees are a little field of studies. And, you know, if you're a doctor and you go to college and all of a sudden you have your specialty and you go to oncology or you go to this or you choose what you do, pick the best one. You're only going to go through medical school once. You better be careful during that little period of time how you pick, because where you're going to be working and how many patients you have and how well you get paid and how pleasant your job is. It's all determined by that little time when you're just studying and picking, making, and when you're not smart enough to make the right choice, by the way, you're making those choices. And I say, man, you better look at everything, study everything, check it out, call people. I'd call some doctors, say, what would you feel? I mean, why? Because you just got that little bit of time and you better make the right choice, because the rest of your life is going to be based on what little choice you make there. And so in this life, we've got this 70 years and we're going to live for eternity with what choice we make. And we individually, by our own choices, get rewarded. Isn't that great? Nobody can unreward you. We'll get to that a little bit later. People can you can have people influence you for bad, but you can earn your rewards. Matthew 16, I'm going to read some verses out of there. Earning rewards in heaven. Man, you're right now earning. Right now in church, you came to church today. In heaven, you'll get a reward for choosing to come to church today if you did it for the right reasons. You'll be rewarded for that. You made the right choice. Someone who didn't come to church today will never have another today to come to church. It's too late. They can't come to this morning's service. They missed it. And that's why life is so urgent. Matthew 16 and verse 27. I'm going to be in a lot of verses. You don't have to turn to all of them if you're turning to them. Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels. Then shall he reward every man according to his works. This moment is called, as a title for this moment when you get your rewards, it's called the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and read verse 10. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. There are two judgments in the Bible for people. There's two judgment seats. One of them is called the Great White Throne Judgment. It's Revelation 20. The Great White Throne Judgment you don't want to go to. Great White Throne Judgment is a judgment where unsaved people who've never accepted Jesus, they go and they are taking the chance that their works are good enough to get them to heaven. And the Bible said that's anybody but going through Jesus. Everybody in the whole history who doesn't go through Jesus, who hasn't believed on God, they go to the Great White Throne Judgment, and God says, I open the books and look at their deeds. God opens a book and they're judged according to their deeds. If you're judged according to your deeds, you will not go to heaven. Okay, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All God has to do is find one sin. The Bible says the wage of sin, singular, is death. If God opens the books and you're judged according to your deeds at the Great White Throne Judgment, everybody is cast into hell. Everybody. Nobody goes to heaven because nobody's sinless except for Jesus. And so they are judged according to their deeds. If you are saved, you don't go to that judgment. You go to the judgment seat of Christ. And there's lots of reasons for that. Number one, Jesus died for your sins, so he knew your sins. Jesus knows all you've done because he died for your sins. And so you give an account to him literally for every idle word. Everything. You're going to count to him. And at that judgment seat is not whether you go to heaven or hell. It's simply whether you get rewards or whether you're ashamed. Either way, you got to go to heaven. And so that's what the judgment seat of Christ is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, talking to Christians, that every man may receive the things done in his body, according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. That's why the Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. There's a lot of things where the Bible says, hey, you're going to be ashamed. 1 John 2, I think verse 28, it says, and that little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. There'll be so certain people. Matter of fact, chapter 5, it says in this very chapter, waiting for Jesus to come back. Verse 3, we get clothed upon with our righteousness. And it says, if so being clothed, we shall not be found naked. In heaven, you glow and you wear your righteousness. It's your clothing. And you glow according to your righteousness. And the Bible says some people, when they're clothed upon with their righteousness, they have no righteousness. They weren't holy on earth. And they're found naked. And they walk around in heaven without the glow that other Christians have. But they that be wise shall shine as a brightness of the firmament, the Bible says. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And you wear your robes of righteousness in eternity. But some being clothed are found naked because they had no personal holiness. And so you go before the judgment seat of Christ. And I go before the judgment seat of Christ. And some, it says, the things we've done according to what we've done, whether it be good or bad. Listen, if I sin, I'm still God's child, right? If you sin, if your child sins, are they still your children? Yes. Can you be ashamed of your child? Yes. Are they still your child? Yes. Born again people are still God's children. However, some when they face God are going to be ashamed. The Bible calls it this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll go back there. I'll show you how the Bible phrases it. When you go there and the people who aren't ready and have no works and have nothing to be rewarded of, what happens a little bit, and there's a lot of passages this reward time, and I'm not focused on the negative today. I'll finish up with that right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says this, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, stones, wood, hay, stubble," that was last week we talked about this, Sunday morning, "every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." So your work gets tried to see what kind of work it is, and some of it is wood, hay, and stubble, and it burns up, and some abides. Verse 14, "If any man's work abide, he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward." We'll show you that in Matthew 6 later. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, by the skin of your teeth." So you're still saved, but you don't have any rewards left. And so you get judged according to what you've done, and that happens at the judgment seat of Christ. These rewards far exceed the work to earn them. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." A few years back, I had major septic problems. We have a septic tank in our yard and in our thing, and it was built and all assembled wrong. And I just talked to some people in the septic field, and they said, not in that septic field, but in the septic area of work, and they said, "Oh, this is $10,000 easily." I said, $10,000. I said, "I can figure out septic for a lot less than that." And so, Ron helped me a lot. I dug a trench. And I dug my hole. I talked to a plumber that I knew. I said, "Hey, what's this here and why is this doing this?" He said, "Oh, you need to replace this with this kind of pipe and do this." And I said, "All right, I'll figure it out." And I spent about $100 and a whole bunch of back and knee aches to dig a 3-foot deep trench for about 40 feet. But you know what? It was worth $10,000. If I figured out hourly, it was a good deal for me. And I was happy, actually, to dig that trench. You know, you could go through anything. If I said, "You know, I got this terrible job, you're going to have to go down and you're going to have to go into a septic tank and you're going to have to clean that thing out." You say, I never did that. I say, $1 million an hour to do it. You say, "Where is it?" Why? Because if you work 10 hours, you get $10 million. Would you do that? Yeah. Union break. And so why? Because the reward is worth it. You're overpaid. Matter of fact, you wouldn't even mind it. You wouldn't like it, but you'd say, "You know what? I might not like this, but it's okay. I'm cheerful about this." And that's exactly what you do with God and serving God. Something you might not like doing, you say, "But I'm being rewarded for this, and I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed." God overpays and is rewarding. And it makes it so that you're glad, like Moses, to sacrifice. You're not a whiny Christian. "Oh, why do I have to go to church? Do I have to read my Bible? Somebody's going to make fun of me. Why do me?" That's not the attitude of a Christian who understands you're over-rewarded. It's a pleasure to serve a rewarding God. It's a pleasure to serve God because he's so good and so worthy and because he died for us. It's just good to serve the Lord. But to throw on top of it, he's going to over-reward you with eternal rewards for temporary suffering. It's an awesome life serving God. It's a great life being a Christian. These rewards far exceed that. Underneath, every person receives reward for their individual works. A few things. I got A, B, C, and D. A, be very happy when you get to suffer to earn them. Matthew 5. Be very happy when you get to suffer to earn these rewards. Matthew 5, the Beatitudes are all about this. Oh, let's see. Matthew 5, let's start at verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. You know what you ought to be bummed out about? You ought to be bummed out that you don't get to get persecuted. You don't get to earn this reward much. You'll probably never get to earn the crown of life given to those who are martyred and had to take that crown into eternity. The Bible says if you are blessed enough to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, rejoice and be really glad and say, ah, I got to suffer for Jesus. This is awesome. I'm so glad personally. I am so glad. I can't believe it. I picked up a couple bugs overseas in some pretty primitive countries, and I actually got to physically suffer for Jesus. Man, am I blessed. Most of you never got to do that. Man, I went through a lot of pain with chikungunya. Still do. Still feel it. Man, am I blessed. See, that's not how we think, is it? That person, I was tired, and they called me and asked me to come help them, and it's the last thing I wanted to do. What an opportunity to earn rewards. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. And that's good. You get to earn rewards. Rejoice in that day. Say, guys, look, they're going to kill us. We're going to be martyrs. We get to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. We're so blessed. Can you imagine the rewards? That's the Bible. That's the Bible. Be very happy when you get a chance to earn rewards. Next. He is very careful to reward. Matthew 10. We're in Matthew. We'll go to Matthew 10. God's very careful in his rewarding. He keeps real good records. He doesn't forget what you do. You can, but you don't have to look up and say, God, did you see what I just did for you? You don't have to. Matthew 10 and verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. By the way, we bring these missionaries in, and we go to the field and visit these people who are going and living for God in these in tough situations, and we spoil them. And we help them along. And if you don't give to that, you're crazy. You understand, if you give to God's men, God's women, God says you get their reward. This guy's out there winning souls in the middle of Botswana, and I helped him out. He's doing the work, and I'm getting the rewards. It's like reward welfare. It's awesome. I do that. If you don't help God's people, God's servants, if you don't help them and try to be a blessing to them, you're missing out. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward, and whosoever shall give to drink unto him, one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. If you give a cup of water to a person, a child who needs a drink, God says, I reward you for it. That's pretty detailed. Pretty detailed. Man, what? God is, I mean, there are so many opportunities. So many that you can find. God keeps great records. Next, most of them are beyond comprehension. 1 Corinthians 9:9 says, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So, what that says there is God revealed to us what the rewards are. God's revealed them unto us by Spirit, but our eyes and ears cannot comprehend them. Okay? They are beyond. God said, God can tell you, this is what it's like, and you will say, that sounds good, but your senses are not in the realm to comprehend how good it is. That make sense? So you can say, that sounds, so when I look at heaven, I say, yeah, streets of gold, okay, that's cool. I mean, a mansion in heaven, that'd be awesome to have a mansion, but you know, I don't need much anyway. And you know, in his presence of fullness of joy, I'm pretty happy, I like life. And but fullness of joy, what's that feel like? Like, I never don't have something that can bother me if I want to think about it. And our senses, I mean, there's some good things on earth that are great. But the Bible says your eyes haven't seen anything like, your ears haven't heard it. So I kind of try to explain it to you, but you're not going to get it. You're not going to understand it anyway. You ever try to explain something that they don't get? You're not going to, okay, this is what it's like. That's not that funny. No, really, it was really funny. You don't understand. And they don't understand. They don't comprehend how good that felt or how fun that was or how scary that was. And our senses, we can't comprehend what heaven's like. So God says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn men into righteousness as the stars forever and ever. How awesome will it be to shine in heaven? I don't know. There's a lot of things we can't comprehend. He gives us a lot of things. He tells us what it's going to be like. Let's turn to Revelation 2. It'll give us some clues there, Revelation 2. With these rewards, he gives us some, he tries to explain it, but we can't comprehend it. I certainly can't with a human tongue tell you how great heaven is, because I don't comprehend it, nor could my tongue explain it. Revelation 2:17. Some of these things you read and you say, could it really be that? Could God really give us that much reward? Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. What's the hidden manna? You know, there's a lot of food in heaven. The Bible talks, and that's why it's heaven, amen? And God talks a lot about food in heaven. And he says, those who overcome, they get to eat the hidden manna. Can you imagine? Look, if you just said in heaven you get bacon every meal, that'd be awesome. I mean, that'd be awesome. I mean, what can taste better than bacon? I can't comprehend that. But this food is in heaven, and God says, if you overcome, you're going to get to eat the hidden manna. How good must that be? But how are we going to say, I'm going to eat hidden manna? It's going to be so good. I don't know what it tastes like. Low cholesterol bacon. I don't know. What is it? And by the way, if I earn it and you didn't earn it, don't come try to get mine. Because, well, I can't be selfish in heaven, can I? But I bet you God has rules up there. You didn't earn it, man. You don't get it. And they get to eat the hidden manna. What does it say? God's going to give you a white stone. And in this stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth it, save that he that receiveth it. Why is that awesome? A white stone, God writes a name for you that nobody else knows. And you get that stone. I bet you it's awesome, but it doesn't seem that awesome to me. See, we can't comprehend, but that's for only overcomers. So God says, it must be pretty awesome. Must be a pretty good thing to get. But by the way, the part of the fun of it is just to get there and see. Man, I can't wait to see what did I get? And or to be saying, oh man, I'm not gonna get anything. I don't want to live like that. I wanna get it all, and try to earn it. Revelation 2, and let's see, verse 26. It says, he that overcometh and keepeth the works unto the end, to him will I give to power over nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Verse 28, I will give him the morning star. Just a lot of things, like what are we going to get? What are the overcomers going to get? What will we earn? What are these things going to be like here? And how can we comprehend them? We can't really comprehend them very well. Watch how far it goes. Look at chapter 3. And look at verse 12. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. There's a temple in heaven. And God says, those that overcome, they get to be pillars inside the temple. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of my city, the name of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh out from God, from heaven out of God. And I'll write upon him my new name. We don't understand all this. Wow. There's a bunch of things that you can get. Verse 21, him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Whoa. There are certain overcoming Christians who in heaven Jesus, come on up, sit down. And other Christians say, I wish I would have earned that. I will never sit in Jesus' throne. We cannot comprehend all these. The promises are so amazing. It's going to be so good. Everybody will be happy in heaven, but some will be more happier. See, why do you use bad English? I like bothering the English Nazis. And next, most of them are beyond our comprehension. That's great. Next, they can be earned. This is great. They can be earned even in everyday life. Colossians 3. This is really, really good. I want you to get this. This is one of the most important things I'll say. Colossians 3. Mark, you want to check temperature out back there? See if we're still got the cooling going on. Colossians 3. This is what's good. In everyday life, you can earn treasures. Colossians 3 in verse 22. Verse 23. And whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. If you just caught that, your secular job can be a vehicle for earning treasures. You go to your job and you say, today, Lord, I'm putting widgets together, and Lord, you gave me this job, and I thank you for it. And I know it's not this job that gets me my bills paid. You said, my God shall supply all your needs. I know this job is just a tool you gave me, and you put me here for a reason. So, Lord, I'm going to be the best widget maker here. I'm putting this widget together for you. I'm going to work hard and put another widget. I'm going to do it faster than everybody else, because, Lord, I'm doing this because I love you, because you're who I'm really serving, not my boss. I do my very best for you, Lord. And the Bible says, when you do what you do for God, you receive reward. Isn't that great? You can get paid by your boss and get rewards in heaven. And by the way, it's not your job that supplies your needs, it's God. He used a job. But you serve the Lord Christ. It says you'll receive a reward from God for working for Jesus. That's why every one of you should be the best employee at your job. When the boss is working, looking, and when the boss is not looking. Because you're doing it for Jesus, not for man. It says, not with the eye service, as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ. And so it says, you'll receive reward. Everyday life, you can serve God. You can be going down the road and you're speeding. You say, Lord, I don't think you want me to speed. I'm going to go to the speed limit for you and get reward for it. Oh, that didn't go over good. Let's go back to something else, and we'll hit something else. You can serve God when you drive, amen? Not the devil. You say, my right foot is not saved. I understand that, but try to get your right foot saved also, and serve the Lord everywhere you go and everything you do. Whatsoever you do, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Serve God everywhere. And get rewards everywhere. You don't have to be a preacher to get rewards everywhere you do. Just because your job is secular doesn't mean it has to be secular. Work for Jesus and do everything for him. Number three, rewards can be lost. Let me take you to this. End of the Bible, 2 John. 2 John. Rewards can be lost. Here's the danger. Second John in verse 8. It says, look to yourselves that ye lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. It says we can lose things. First of all, how we can lose things, let me go a little order while we're here in this passage. First of all, by letting people take your reward. Look at verse 7 through 9. By giving you bad doctrine, you ruin what you believe. You don't believe right anymore. Verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess that Jesus Christ, confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. These are deceivers are an antichrist. Look to yourselves, so you lose not those things which ye have wrought, and that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, and he that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. He says, listen, false teachers can move you away from the doctrine of the Bible, and you lose your reward. Listen, can I tell you this? Be very careful who you watch on TV. And by the way, don't let the cults into your house. Don't let Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons into your house. I witnessed to it at my doorstep. They never come back. But I witnessed to my doorstep. But you know what? The Bible says don't allow a false prophet in your house. If they don't believe denying the Lord that it talks about there, they don't believe Jesus is God's only begotten Son, who is perfect and sinless and is God in the flesh, they don't believe that. Don't let them ruin your life. And by the way, some people on Christian television are not preaching right doctrine now. Didn't used to be true, but now there's false prophets on TV saying they're Christians. By the way, the Bible, 1 Timothy 6, and other passages tell you how to, the quickest way to identify a false prophet, you don't have to listen to all their doctrine. Bible says very simply, multiple times, the fastest way to identify a false prophet is, are they greedy of money? That's the fastest way. If it's about money and they're wealthy and they talk about money, turn it off. You can go through the process of checking their doctrine, but the Bible says that's a sign of a false prophet. They're greedy of gain. And it says that in every passage just about on false prophets. If they're all about money, turn it off. Turn it off. You don't want things all about money. It's about Jesus. It's about eternity. It's about heaven. Rewards can be lost by false prophets and by us not doing the things we should do. Look at Colossians chapter 2. By people making you do things wrongly and taking you away from God. What did I say? Colossians chapter 2. You have some bad friend who keeps making you do the wrong things and going back to drugs or going back to bad things. Don't let anybody take your reward. That some girl or some guy who you fall in love with, who taking you away from God, who aren't godly, don't let anybody take your reward. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward through voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding on those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, Jesus Christ, at the front. So it says people can take away your reward. Oh, wouldn't you hate to get to heaven and God says, you had this coming, and you let that person take all that away? Don't do that. We can lose our reward also by wrong motivation. Matthew 6. I got to hurry. Matthew 6. But don't worry if you suffer because I go over on time. You'll get reward in heaven for it. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. You can lose your reward because you do things for the wrong reason. Matthew 6 and verse 1. First of all, you can give for the wrong reason. Take heed that you do not your alms, that's giving, before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not send a trumpet before you as a hypocrites in the synagogue, in the synagogues in the streets. They may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Remember they said that some of the things are wood, hay, and stubble, and they burn up when the fire comes, the testing of it. If you give so people will know how much you give and you try to do it to impress people, God says, all right, you got your reward. You don't need one in heaven for it. You already got it. It wasn't a very good reward. Let me tell you, the rewards in heaven are much better, but that's people do things to be seen of men. Listen, in our church, I don't know who gives and doesn't give, so if you think you're going to impress me, I don't have anything to do with it. And so, listen, you do what you do. When you give, but give for God. Give because you love souls. Give because you want to meet needs. Give because you want rewards in heaven. It's all good. And do it for the right reason. And by the way, don't be foolish enough to say I'm doing this for the wrong reasons. So I'm not going to do it. Do good even if it's for the wrong reason. You just don't get the reward. You say, you know what? I want to feed that person. They're starving to death, but I have the wrong motivation. I want people to see me. They'll still eat if you feed them. So get your reward and have people pat you on the back. You fed a poor person. It's okay. Do the right thing, even if it's for the wrong reason. Just understand you don't get a reward in heaven. Okay? You can still do it. And maybe later you can get your reasons, the right motivation later. But it's still good to help people and do the right thing, even if you're doing it for a pat on the back. Okay? But do the right thing either way. But understand you lost your reward. First of all, in giving. Secondly, we see you lose it for the wrong motivation when in prayer. Verily, I say, verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Okay? They're praying. These Pharisees would stand there in the corner and say, everybody, I'm going to pray a great prayer. I'm going to pray in the King James. Thou, O Lord, art... And I'm going to pray out loud. Everybody will see how good I can pray and how long I can pray and how devoted my prayers are. And everybody will see how spiritual I am. The Bible says, well, you got your reward for that. God says, I'm not going to answer your prayer, but hope you feel good about yourself because you lost your reward for it. For prayer. You can do the same thing in fasting. Verse 16, wherefore when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites are of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. They may appear unto men to fast, but I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. He says, don't even look like you're fasting. Don't act like you're miserable. Try not to tell, and I don't lie. I'm suffering so much. I've been fasting 3 days. Come on, think I'm spiritual. Can you imagine 3 days without food? Don't do that. Do it for God. Don't do things so people... Now, people sometimes need to know you do things. I mean, people will see it and they'll find out. But that's okay. If I fast, I have to tell my wife. Otherwise, she cooks me food and all this stuff. But I don't do it for that reason. I don't fast so she can see me. And I won't tell anybody else. But I might tell my wife I'm going to be at home a lot and she'll be cooking for me. But I'm not doing it to impress her. Okay? Your motivation can take away your reward. It's why do you do this thing? Now, a couple things, I'll finish up. The greatest rewards are for a couple things. We read the verses on suffering. First of all, suffering gives you the greatest rewards. When you suffer for God, rejoice because God really notices suffering. And you read verses on that. If you suffer the loss of a family or friends or land or anything in the houses, God says you receive a great reward in heaven. God says when you lose something, when you suffer, when you're persecuted, all the suffering is greatly rewarded. And Moses said, hey, this is worth it. Second thing that God really notices is overcoming. Look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7, an amazing verse. Overcoming. So we said when you suffer, you should be very glad for God, because when you didn't feel like coming to church and you said, oh, I can't get up today. I don't not want to go to church. I don't want to see anybody, but I'm going to go anyway. You say, man, Lord, thank you. It was a hard day to go to church because that got me a lot more reward than most Sundays. And you rejoice. But also the other thing that God gives great reward for is overcoming. We read in Revelation 2 and chapter 3, but Revelation 21 is amazing what it says here. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. All things. Everything. You get the whole buffet. Him that overcometh inherit all things, he says, and I'll be his God and he shall be my son. Do you see this? Here you are standing over here saying, you know, I've got this thing about why is it so hard for me? I've had this problem my whole life and it's so difficult and everybody else has it so much easier than me. You are so blessed. You have something to overcome so you can inherit all things. You've suffered and you got things to overcome. Wow. Have you got a lot of earning potential in heaven? You're blessed. Oh, but I've got this addiction. Oh, you know what? I don't have any addictions. I don't have to overcome it. I overcame a tobacco addiction when I was 16. And I got reward there. Right now, I have no addictions. Except for bacon, maybe, but, you know. But you have things to overcome. Wow, awesome. Aren't you blessed? How many of you got a lot of opportunities to be blessed? You got a lot of things to overcome. You're so fortunate. Wow, God gave you all those things to overcome so you can earn all those treasures. You're lucky. Amen? He that overcometh earneth and will inherit all things. To him that overcometh, he gets to sit with me in my Father's throne. Him that overcometh gets the white stone. Him that overcometh, I will give him a new name that no man knows it. Him that overcometh gets to eat the hidden manna. There's all kinds of promises for overcomers. You got all kinds of earning potential. You got it made. Greatest thing you get the greatest reward in the world, and those rewards you mentioned, God gives them to us. They're important. But let me dig it in one verse in Genesis chapter 15. One thing I didn't mention that's a great thing to inherit, a great reward that you can get, And the greatest above any other reward you can get is Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The greatest reward you can ever get is you get God himself. God says, you're an overcomer. I'm rewarding you. You and me are going to be real close. That's the greatest reward. I mean, it's great to get rewards in heaven. It's great to get all these things. But the greatest reward is getting God. And Abraham had earned the friendship with God. Man is very wealthy, and he was very, very wealthy. He was an art collector, and he had many, many paintings. He had Rembrandts. He had some Van Goghs. He had all kinds of things from the past. He had things that were more recent. He had the original Kincaids. He had many, 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 many works of art. He's a very, very wealthy man. He collected it for all his whole life, and he was getting old. And he said, I'm getting ready to die. And he says, I'm going to sell all my art, and say at a big auction. People came from around the world to go there. And all in the background was all these paintings all over, all on the back wall there. And the old man insisted that I'm going to be the one to run this auction, and I'm going to sell all these things. And so he gets up there and he says, all right, we're going to start the auction now. And he says, the first thing I want to do is, he says, I lost my son many years ago in a tragic accident. And I had a painting that I made of him before. I'm not much of a painter, but he says, here is the painting of my son. And he says, this is the first thing to go up for auction. And they looked at it, and he wasn't a painter. It wasn't much of a painting. And he said, all right, who wants to make the first bid? And nobody bid on it. Nobody bid on it. Nobody bid on it. He said, well, this is the first thing in the auction. And somebody said, all right, I'll give you a dollar. And somebody else said, I'll do 10. Okay, anybody 20, 25, 30, 20, anybody, 20, 20, 20. Anybody? Okay, going once, going twice, sold. All right, I want everybody to know here, this painting was my greatest treasure. And he said, you know, I decided already that my son was what's most important. And you just bought this, you get all the paintings. Because I decided before that this was the most important to me, and he who gets the son gets all. And if you decide, you know, I'm going to live for Jesus, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to esteem the reproaches of Christ as fine because I get God. I am going to have respect under the recompense, the reward like Moses, and choose to suffer affliction of the people of God. Because why? Because God's more important. God says you inherit all things. You chose God. You got everything for eternity. That's what's waiting for you if you want it. But you got to choose to earn those treasures. And we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. Some people give an account and go, that's all I get? Yeah, shame on you. Still going to heaven? Like as though by fire. Yep. Others? Angels? Start hauling it in. So-and-so's coming. And boy, they earn everything. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. I'm greedy about heaven. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we'd realize that you over-reward, and we'd be like Moses. We'd respect the reward and realize it's worth it. May we not live for this silly world that lasts for 70 years. Might not last that long. Lord, may we live for what matters for eternity. And we have respect for the reward and realize that you're keeping record and keeping track, and we got to give an account, and we've got eternal treasures to earn. And may we rejoice when we suffer, and as you said to do, and may we realize that when we have a chance to overcome, it's an opportunity to get rewards in heaven. And may we do what we do for you so we don't lose our rewards. Lord, these things are important, and time's ticking, and rewards are coming. Or going, and may we do great things for you. May we be rich in eternity, whether we have not much here. We thank you for your word that shows us and tells us so clearly this all throughout the Bible. We thank you for it. May you help us to live for what matters. We pray this in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just